favorite, the best superhero of all, by far, is Superman, for sure, because he can fly. The older I got, the more I watched Superman, I realized he jumped out the same window no matter where he was. You ever notice that? That's the same thing. What did I like Superman? My wife said the funniest thing, and I missed this one. Remember the guy with the gun was shooting at Superman, and he shot him 6 times, and the bullets bounced off, and then the guy threw a gun at him, and Superman ducked. Superman in heaven, amen? Our God is so good. Anybody excited besides me today? I want to fill you with so much goodness today. Let's stand up and pray. I'm ready to receive the word. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Mark Bush says one more time, ever, amen. Hallelujah. Be seated. We're going to read the word. We're going to read God's word today. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will sing. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David.
Hallelujah. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance.
In your name they rejoice all day long. In your righteousness they are exalted.
Hallelujah. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted.
For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our king to the Holy One of Israel.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 89. Amen. Woohoo. Don't get quiet on me now. You're going to make me nervous. You don't like me when I get nervous. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Amen.
All the time.
We've been saying, Lord, God bless America, land that I love. How many believe that God hears you? He's going to bless America. Do you ever believe that? When you get down and pray, and I'm praying for my country, is God going to hear me? Hallelujah. Oh my God, I wish Joanne was here today. I'm going to read from the testimony. I'm going to read from the book of Matthew. The book of where?
Matthew.
Yeah, the Gospels. And Gospel simply means what? Good news. The good news. The Gospel means good news. And I'm reading from 9, and I started verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. He said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house. Who sat at the table?
Jesus.
Good. That behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Ooh. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher," imagine that, "why does your teacher," they're the Pharisees, amen, they know the scripture, but they say, "Why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners?" Now, who are the Pharisees? Amen. They're the holy people. Amen. The people who know the word of God. Amen. And they're asking the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means." Jesus said, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." What does he desire? Mercy and not sacrifice. "For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." To what? To repentance. To ask for forgiveness. Amen? Now let's go over to the word mercy here. Mercy is a noun. It means compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who it is within one's power to punish or harm. Amen? But mercy can also be leniency, clemency, grace, and charity. Now he said he does not desire sacrifice. So let's look at sacrifice. Sacrifice is a noun. It means a person surrendering a possession as an offering to God. Another word is offering something given up. Amen? That's what God said. I don't desire you to give up things for me. I desire your compassion, your forgiveness. He said, those who are well have no need of a physician. If you don't think you need God, you don't need him. Amen? He said, but those who are sick, and he calls the sick those that are sinners. Amen. Hallelujah. Who I am right here. I need you, Lord. And he said, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Hallelujah. So in the book in the Old Testament of Micah, however you want to pronounce it, he says, the prophet says this in 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Hallelujah. That's what God is requiring of us. Amen. What we're looking for, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Now, who was Jesus sitting with? Sinners. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. We've been praying for God to bless America, amen? And we all know that a house divided cannot stand, amen? And you see a lot in the world that this country somehow seems divided. Can I get an amen? It's obvious we're pretty well divided. But we've been praying to who? Now, who are we? Believers, amen? So we as believers, we have to raise the bar for ourselves, amen? It doesn't matter what we think, we have to lean to God, amen? So we've been praying to God for what? To do something in where? America, amen? Hallelujah. Now, this past week, there was a group of pastors, a group of people who believed the Word of God, amen, who were in Washington, D.C., and they got together and they laid hands on the President of the United States, amen. These group of people, these believers, who is a believer? Who's a believer? Okay, these believers believe that if they lay hands and pray on him, that he will hear from God. Somehow his spirit will be turned. Amen. And other people said, look at them. He's a sinner. Why are those people going to him? Because he's a sinner. And I said, you're right, he's a sinner. But they're going to pray for him. And there was a lot of angry words saying about, well, that shouldn't happen. Those people are hypocrites too. And I'm saying, you got to be careful. Because we've been praying to who? And God wants unity, amen? But he wants unity with all believers. Are you with me? All believers, see? So these people that are trying to say how wrong it is, they don't realize that there's a lot of people. There's a lot of wonderful, wonderful, loving Christian people who love Jesus with all their heart who happen to not like the man who's president, amen? That's the truth, amen? Don't like it. See, but God says, there's only one way to make unity, amen? I'm going to bring those people, even those people who can't stand him for whatever reason, now have to what? Pray for him, amen? Because who said so? Amen? Because those people went to that sinner. Now, will he hear him? I don't know. How many have tried to tell people something good about God and they haven't heard you? Don't you even look, I mentioned to you a few months ago about the evil that we see in the world, that the Bible says there's only one way to defeat it, that the world must come together, amen? That we have to pray over and over that the world come together and defeat this evil, show it that there's nothing to be gained by being evil. And things are happening in the world because the countries are coming together to defeat that evil, amen? It had to be the way according to the Bible. Are you with me? And we've been praying, God bless America, land that I love. And God is sending believers. And we're seeing it with our own eyes, praying for our country, praying for our leader, amen? Whether you like him or not, now you're a Christian, amen? Now you're a believer. So now, no matter what you feel here, you have to say here, yeah, that guy's a sinner, if that's how you feel, and he's all those things how you feel. But now I got to pray for him, because maybe he'll hear from God, amen? So what does that do to people on both sides of the aisle? People who feel both ways. What does it do, Greg? It unites us all. All of a sudden, God is doing what man said is impossible, because this nation cannot stand divided. Amen? No matter how you choose it, it cannot stand divided. So it takes only one person that can unite us, Sergio. And who's that? God. Amen? And what's God doing? He's calling all believers, you better come back. I don't care what party you belong to. You better come back. You belong to my family. You need to pray for this man. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So I'm seeing this. And again, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter. I don't know if anything's ever going to change. But I know, Gary, that God is doing something. Amen? Because I'm seeing my prayers right there. I got a lot of friends, Dave. I got a lot of friends I've talked to God about. They don't come to church. I got family I talk to. They don't come to church. But I don't stop trying. Amen? I'm talking to these people. Come to church. Hallelujah. So I don't know if anybody's going to be changed. I don't know if he's going to be changed. But I know who's going to be changed. Are you ready? Believers have to be changed. Amen? You can no longer feel that way because you're a believer. Amen? Hallelujah. And God is, you can see it with your eyes. Amen? You can see that God is working on our behalf because we've asked him, God bless where? Yeah. Hallelujah. We all have a job. Hallelujah. Matthew 9:35. Thank you, Lord. Then Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, and I'm going to say this to you because you are his disciples. Can I get an amen? Are you believers? Do you want to bring people to God? Do you want to tell them a better way? Then you're a disciple. And Jesus said, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in his harvest. And I ask you this morning as a testimony to God, are you willing? Do you have that compassion inside you? Amen? I mean, you got to answer. I mean, I can't answer. I know I am. Are you ready? Inside you, you got to be. God said we need laborers. He's calling each and every one of you. Flo, he's calling you today to talk about God to your children. Amen? To change, to grow. He's asking, will you be a laborer? Because the field is ready. The harvest is ready. But Jesus has said there's laborers are few. Hallelujah. So are you ready this morning to take the next step? Are you willing to do that? Will you tell them that you will do that? Amen? Because it will change your life too. As you walk with God, you're not going to be the same person you were yesterday, because things inside of you are going to bubble up and you're going to be different. You're going to be stronger because you're not looking at a denomination. You're not looking at a church. You're not looking at me. You're looking to God. Amen? And that's where you need to be looking all the time. Give them praise. Hallelujah. God is going to unite the Christians in this country, one way or another. For good or bad, we know we pray it's always for good. Amen? Hallelujah. But I'm excited because I see prayers being answered. You know, each step of the way. Like I said, don't get crazy with me. Don't think of just, Sergio, I don't know what's going to come of it. But I know what God is doing. I can see what, and I'm excited because we've been asking him to do that. People were praying, laying hands on him to hear the word of God. Amen? To get stronger spiritually. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Let's pray together. Father, oh, that we would receive that message that God has called us all to pray for each other, to hold each other, to lift each other, to be leaders because we are his people, to raise the bar above where we think, Lord. Raise the bar above our own opinions. Raise the bar above all else except for you, reaching higher for you each day, trying to grow stronger for you each day so that we could help others who need help. This church would be stronger that we could help people on the street. We could reach higher and help people who need that help. Give them that word so they can start a new life. Start a new life and find that job and find that mate and have things in their life that they've been praying for, Lord. We need to be stronger in your word. We need to show the world that we can rise up with God, that with God all things are possible, and you're looking at it. For God to unite people, no matter what party or whatever denomination, it doesn't matter. We're praying. We're Christians. So whatever church you go to today, it doesn't matter what you call yourself, a Baptist, a Catholic. It doesn't matter. You're a Christian, and you have an obligation to God, not your church, but to God. And if you focus on God and give Him that obligation, your church will be blessed. Your friends will be blessed. Your neighbors will be blessed. That's how it works. Hallelujah. It starts with Him. Are you willing this morning? Receive it. Because those who walk with Him are so in a different world. They feel stronger, even when things come against them. They feel stronger even when the winds blow. Hallelujah, we're going to read that. When you walk with God, all things are possible. See that He hears your prayer this morning. He hears your prayer. Let Him do His work. In Jesus' name I pray. Give Him praise, church. Because there are some people today who say, only God can make me pray for that man. Am I true? We're not talking, I mean, it's true. Only God can make me pray for that man. Amen? Understand that God is doing it. Hallelujah. I just think that's so cool. Maybe I'm all by myself. I don't know. I'm a crazy kind of guy. So, in the sermon today, I was just sort of, my bride and my granddaughter were downstairs, and I was just kind of reading through Matthew, just kind of enjoying it. Sergio, I was just kind of reading the Gospels and seeing, and God just started talking to me, and just I started enjoying some of the things I was reading, and He sort of showed me this and that, and I was having a good time, and I have a couple of things I want to talk about today in Matthew. And again, it's the Gospels. Jesus said to preach the Gospel, preach the good news. So today we're going to do exactly what He talked about. And the first thing we're going to talk about is fasting. Anybody ever hear about fasting? It's when you give up something for God, you cleanse yourself. Maybe you're not going to eat something for, some people do a week, some day people do it a day. Some people do it for an hour, Elaine. It's what you do unto God. You say, for the next 5 hours, I'm not going to put anything in my body. I'm just going to cleanse my body. However you do it to God, when you do it genuinely, amen? When you do it from your heart, God sees that, amen? And He's talking about fasting because how many know that fasting is part of your prayer, amen? So the Bible says sometimes you need to fast. Sometimes you need to dig deeper, amen, in your prayer. And fasting is a sacrifice. And God, what did He honor before? Sacrifice, amen? Cleansing. It's a cleansing. Hallelujah. So let me read what He said first. Jesus said in 6:16, moreover, when you fast, I love this, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. That's that word twice, I think, today, Marilyn. Is that the same time we had that word? I couldn't say it right the first time. That was in the... With a sad face. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. You ever see anybody like that? Oh, I'm fasting. Oh, I'm just not. That's what He's saying. But you, when you fast, anoint your head with oil and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Understand that. This is your connection to God. Amen. This is your connection to God. Your Father who sees in that secret place, right in here in your heart, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Hallelujah. Fasting. So how many remember, have noticed that before we do the Lord's Supper, I say, now Lord, remove our iniquities. Asking God, say, God, remove our iniquities, is asking God to cleanse us of the things that we said or did that week that separate from God and His love. Amen. When we ask God to do that, it puts us in a place to receive. Fasting cleanses us. Fasting cleanses our mind and what we think we need. In what we think we need, and our hearts. And fasting opens up the door to receive more of God. Amen? And God honors true sacrifice when it's done with prayer. Not a show. And I said this, it does not impress God when we do it for personal gain. Amen? But fasting is simply another tool God has shown us to be stronger in prayer, and it shows faith that we not only believe, but also trust God. When you do anything in the Bible, if you're going to fast, understand you're telling God right away, I trust you. Amen? I'm going to do this. I might not understand it, Sergio, but I'm going to do it. You're telling God, I trust you. I'm going to do this for you. Amen? So as you do that unto God, amen, God is able to what? Fill you with Him. Amen? Fill you in a way that you didn't know an hour before. Amen? That's the power of cleansing, and that's the power of fasting. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's just another tool God has shown us to be stronger in prayer, and I want to be stronger in prayer. Now, your fasting is between you and God. There is no right and wrong. Please understand. Say that with me. There is no right or wrong. You're doing it unto God. You do it the way God leads you to do it. Don't anybody tell you you have to fast for 7 days or you can't have this. I remember I did a 7-day fast. All I had was orange juice. I had the peanut butter cookies, crackers that they had, Ritz peanut butter crackers. And for dinner, I had a can of tuna fish out of the can with 2 pieces of toast. I did that for a week. That was my fast. I drank all the orange juice I can get, and I felt wonderful. Nobody knew I was fasting except the drummer in the band that I was with, because I trusted him. He was a faith leader for me. His name was Danny. But it felt so good to do something unto God. And you know what? My body did feel better. Amen. And after the third day, it wasn't anything anymore. It was like a lot of fun pushing myself to do it another day. Amen. I wasn't doing anything miraculous, but it felt good for me that I was leaning on God and doing something like that. I just loved the way that felt. Just saying to you. Amen. Now, so I'm reading through Matthew, and that pretty good. It just popped up, and then something else sort of popped up. Because, you know, Ron, when you read his word, you read Matthew. It's so simple to read, you know. And you might read something, and all of a sudden something comes to you because you saw it and you understood it in a way that you didn't do it the day before. See, that's because the word is alive. Can I get an amen? The word is alive. So when you might read the same page every day and something else pops out at you, say, hey, God didn't show me that, but he showed me that today. Amen. That's why when they were downstairs, I went right to the Gospels. I went right to Matthew. And it showed how he fed me. It was so much fun. I have fun with God. You can too. Now I'm going to read from Matthew 7:21, and this is Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. Now, how many think you're pretty wise? Come on. How many think you're pretty smart? So he's talking to you now. He said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended. The floods came. And the winds blew and beat on that house. And it didn't fall, for it was founded on the rock. Hallelujah. Your troubles came, all the troubles, and you stood strong. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Madison is not talking about a real house. He's talking about the person. If you don't have strength in God, when troubles come, all of a sudden you fall apart. You get scared. Amen. And for when God's inside of you, when those troubles come, somehow you stand stronger because you know God is going to help you through. That's what God is talking about. Amen. Those of us that are going to stand strong. Are you with me? God is looking for a solid foundation. Can you say that with me? A solid foundation. Anybody here know anything about building? What's the first thing you got to do, Art, when you're building a house? The foundation. It's got to be in right, amen? Because if the foundation's not in right, what's going to happen to the house? Yeah, you go. So it's out. Matthew 7:21 said, I believe it's a personal relationship that we build with Jesus and God that truly changes who we are. Now you say those other people call on him, but they never let him in his heart. God knows when it's genuine faith. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And he said, I never knew you, because they did it for show. They did it to be seen. They never did it through God. Amen. They never allowed God to go through them. They were in front of God saying, look what I did for you, Lord. Look what I did for you, Lord. And he said, I never knew you. Because you didn't do it for me. You did it for yourself, to make a name for yourself, or to be have people look at you like you were somebody special. Amen. God said, no, I never knew you. Amen. But see, we're building a foundation, and he's never going to say that to you because you love him. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You see, that relationship builds who we truly are. Do you know him? Do you talk with him? You don't have to answer me. You answer to God. How much faith do you put in his word? When God has, listen, this is true. This is so true, and you're going to say amen. When God has touched you in your heart, when he has opened your eyes to his love, he has given you hope, and God has given you strength to overcome to face trials and sadness that would destroy someone without the faith you possess, even or especially because what you thought possible. Hallelujah. You would have been destroyed without God. Amen. You know that you wouldn't have been strong enough, but He gave you a strength that surpassed even your understanding to face those trials and sadness. Hallelujah. Though possible, it was thought you couldn't do it. Then it is impossible. If God has done that for you, amen, then it's impossible to not want to tell others about what He has done in your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. To talk about a personal relationship. You, if God has touched you in any way that has changed who you are, you can't hold it back, amen, because it's so good. Now, I want to hear an amen. We want to see people change, amen?
Amen.
We want to see the president change. Some people say louder, amen. Go ahead.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, we want people, when we talk about God, to agree with us, don't we? Yeah. To say yes, right?
Yeah.
So we tell people about God, right, Marcia? We say, yeah, you got to believe me. And they wanted them to say, I get it. Okay, I believe you. Is that what we want? Amen?
Amen.
That's what we're looking for. But I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. How long did it take you to believe?
Some of us are not blessed like Sergio to be so young and be so smart and be good looking and have hair on the top of his head and have a beard that actually looks like a beard in great shape with a smile. But some of us took a while to believe. Amen? How long did it take you to believe? Who was waiting for you? God.
Hallelujah. I got more. Are there still people, Christians, who believe more than you do? Are there Christians who stand on faith more than you do? So I ask you, why? Why does somebody have more faith than you do? Because you're a believer. Do you still fall short at times? Oh, why? So I say this to you. If God waited for you, hallelujah, Lord, thank you. He waited for you. If He waited for you, He is still waiting for you for other things. Amen?
Amen.
Then shouldn't we have the same compassion on others that we're praying and talking to? Amen? If God waited for you, how many years or whatever it took you? Not like Sergio, because he's so young. Hallelujah. He's so handsome with the hair on his head. Some of us had took more years than he's been alive. That's not to scare you, amen? And now you're shaking your brother and your sister. You got to believe. You got to come to church. What's wrong with you? They're looking at like you're crazy. Just like they looked at me. My family said, I'm going to church. You're going where? My brother yelled at me one day. He said, I'm a Catholic, and you ain't going to change me. I'm a Catholic all my life. And I looked at my brother, and I was always kind to my brother, and I said to him, Johnny, you ain't been to church in 35 years. What exactly does it mean to be a Catholic? I didn't. That's the truth. He never said anything that time. But it's the truth. We want people to hear us, and we shake them. Come to church, amen? How long did it take us to come to church? Because we're feeding you something now. I believe we're feeding you something for every single day. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, this is going to get a little confusing, but this is really cool. This is the Bible. People are watching you.
Ooh.
I want you to think of all the people you've been talking to God about. They're watching you. Every move. And here's the thing about a Christian. You can't make one mistake. Amen? If you're in the world, you can lie, you can swear, you can do it. And, oh, that's funny. But the second you say you're a Christian and you say something off color, oh, look at that. We get judged by the world. Amen? So people are watching us. Amen? Your friends and your family, they know you. They know you. So it's going to take a little longer. I mean, however long it took you for the Father to get to you, it might take a little longer. And you might never see it. I'm sorry. Amen? My mother took me to church. I didn't know what he was saying. He was speaking in Latin. But something happened inside of me. Amen? So I pray that she's up there looking down, seeing me today. So you might not see every answer. But we're getting with Madison. Trust me. She's going to hear about God for the whole month. She's going to go home and say, Mom, we need to go to church. Hallelujah. My lips to God's ears. But remember, it's just people are watching us. And I'm going to go to the book of James.
James 2:14. And Paul is telling us this. I'm sorry, James is telling us this. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. And he says, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. Amen? He says, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. It sort of sounds like he's contradicting Paul. Amen. When the Bible says we are saved by what? Faith. It says that in Romans. We are saved by faith. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Paul is telling us in Romans that we're saved by faith, but it's just not words, amen? Words do not save us, amen? Some people believe that we're saved by our words, and so it's something they did, amen? This speaks to those who try to be saved by deeds alone. Some people think you're saved because you do good things, amen? Somehow you can earn that salvation, amen? Something they did to receive salvation. James is saying and speaking out against those who confuse intellect or simply the words that they speak as being good enough to be saved. Amen? Because there's no heart in it. There's no genuine faith in the, oh, I love God. Yeah, and then they walk away and God knows that they don't. And your friends know they don't by the way they act. Amen? They say they love God and they continue to do the things you know are abomination. So you know that they don't have faith. You know that, so that faith is dead. Amen? Because there's nothing behind it. James is saying and speaking out against those people with the intellect is simply using those words that speak about being good enough to be saved. Because there's no such thing. There is no commitment made, no change of heart, just large, shiny words about God without the true actions that should follow such words. Amen? Now I tell you this, my faith is then made manifest by my actions. Amen? My actions. Amen? People can see my faith. Are you with me? Now you might think of faith as a word. Faith is a belief, but people can see your faith, so faith now becomes real, amen? Faith is now real because people can see it. I can see your faith. I can see what you've been through, and I can see how strong you are. I can see your joy, so somehow I can see your faith, amen? And that's what James is talking about. Hallelujah. Real work. See my faith. Making faith is not just a word, but an action. To be desired by others. Amen? Say that with me. To be desired by others. You want to draw other people to God? They need to see your faith. Amen? Hearing your words isn't going to help. Amen? Genuine faith. Say that with me. Genuine faith produces miraculous results. And you can do it. Amen? I know you can do it. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. And I will tell you this again. People are watching you. Your friends are watching you. Your family is watching you. So your faith without works will be dead. Amen. I say, show me your faith. I'll show you my faith by my works. Amen. That's what James, he's not contradicting Paul, and Paul's not contradicting him. We are saved by faith. Amen. We are saved when we said we believe it. Amen. But when you believe it and you love God and you start to move towards God, things happen in your life that people can see that. Amen. You're not just saying words. Can I get an amen? We shall all see paradise someday. Can I get an amen? Who's going to see it? All of us. Amen. Isn't that what we want most for those we love? You think of the person you love with all your heart. Madison loves her Nana. I know she wants someday that Nana will be in a place so beautiful. Someday, 70 years from now. You're still going to look good. Don't worry about it. But isn't that what we want for those that we love? To be in paradise. Amen? So does that not... Listen to me. Please, this is... God gave this to me. I don't say that very often, but He did. God gives you your heart's desire, amen? Isn't that your greatest heart desire, Chuck, someday to know that you and your bride will be reunited in paradise, but she will be there in paradise? Isn't that the heart's desire that you have, amen? Are you with me? Amen. Now, God always answers. Can you say that with me? God always answers. God raises up those that we love the most. Amen. God is going to raise up the ones you love so much higher than you can ever do it. Amen. God is going to take him right here in his hand and he's going to lift them up and put them in a place where your heart's desires for them to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Those that we love the most. Amen. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what we should be looking at? And I say these three words. Glory to God. Amen. Now listen, we feel sad. Of course we do. But we could never wish for anything greater for those that we love the most. Amen. The sadness is in the missing. But the knowing is greater than anything we could ever give the ones that we love the most. Amen. Amen. That is the victory. Amen. That's when you can let go and say, wow, God, you really did answer my... Well, maybe he didn't answer it the way you thought you want him to answer at that time. And I get that. I've been through it. We've all been there. Amen. But God said, I love you so much, Pat. I'm going to answer your prayer so beautifully. I'm going to lift them up higher than you can ever lift them up. And I know you're going to be sad for a minute, but we're all going to be... What did I just say? We're all going to see paradise someday. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the promise of this God. So this is true victory. This is the truest victory that God can give any of us. Amen. For you, for me, and for those that we love the most. Glory to God. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah.